Welcome to this week's edition of In the Clubhouse with EMD Baseball. I am Andy Kirikides, joined by my esteemed colleague, Coach Keith Glasser. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. So let's dive right into the short topic for today. We're at the end of June here, and you get a lot of folks who hit the panic button because they might not be on the phone every day or have a ton of offers. And I think what we want to touch on today is making sure that you're taking ownership of your process, being persistent and consistent in terms of how this process plays out. Because me and you both know that for a large subpopulation of high school recruits, this process will go into the October, November, even December window. And I think that's hard for some people to wrap their head around, considering that they see people posting on Twitter about committing and all that stuff. But the reality is that the vast majority of the college baseball world is just starting to really heat up from an evaluation perspective. I mean, you know, you really had like your first big tournament and down in Georgia, you know, up in New Jersey, you had the Super 17 going on. Like, that's kind of the kickoff of the recruiting cycle. So that's the topic we're going to cover real quick here. And I'm going to kick it over to you, my man, and see if you got any thoughts.
Sure. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head in the opener here that, you know, the vast majority of college baseball recruiting is just kind of getting underway. You know, baseball doesn't have rules like some of the other sports out there where, like, it's a dead period during the national championship and such. You know, but that's also because most sports are done in a week. You know, Omaha's like 14 days, so you can't really shut recruiting down for that long. You know, but, you know, the vast majority, Division II, Division III, you know, especially like high-end academic Division III, like, they'd kind of just got going. You know, the West Coast events were in full swing, I want to say last week, maybe 10 days ago, where everyone was kind of getting out and doing that. And then you're going to start working your way towards the middle of the country and back east as the summer kind of rolls on. But, you know, Super 17 and all those types of events down at Diamond Nation, like, those start to kick off, and then you're going to have your show balls and your head first. And I, you know, I'm specifically talking about Division III right now. You know, but a lot of the tournaments, you know, the other part that we have to keep in mind too is that, you know, I know in New York, for the most part, like, school ended either last Friday or yesterday or today. You know, so a lot of kids in the Northeast and in New England were still in school until about, you know, very recently. You know, so not a lot of guys are getting out and watching games because, like, you know, let's be honest, it's a super long season. And, you know, we'll probably get into this in a little bit, and maybe in the longer episode that we're going to do. You know, there's going to be a little bit of portal stuff going on. You know, and it's sometimes it's just hard to kind of look at a schedule and be like, all right, they're playing a Saturday, Sunday. Like, do I need to go to that game right now? Because I'm going to see this kid throw another four or five times, or see him play shortstop another four or five times in the next two weekends at tournaments where it's Thursday to Sunday. You know, so you kind of weigh the cost benefit there too. So, you know, it's the key in all of this is from a player standpoint is being able to acquire enough film and video of what you have going on. And then also being diligent in making sure you're staying in contact with coaches and giving them updates of what you're doing and how you're doing. You know, send your schedules out, guys. You know, it doesn't mean nobody's recruiting, but, you know, it's going to be a little bit lighter the first couple weekends, and then it really starts to pick up steam here over the course of the next, you know, 8 to 12 weeks. You know, and then, I mean, let's be honest, we're going to go into, you know, fall baseball slash, you know, fall camp series on campus with everybody, where you're going to start making decisions, and this could very well end in August or September for you. It could end in October, November, you know, with early decision one at most colleges. There's an early decision two period that's usually in December for some schools, and it could end up in regular decision back in January. So, you know, it could be short. It could be long. It really just depends on your process. But I think it's understanding where you are and staying diligent on what it is that you need to be able to do. You know, like you said, persistent and consistent in what you're doing, who you're reaching out to, and making sure that you're following up with people who are reaching out to you too, and knocking those doors down.
Yeah, I think the piece about getting back to coaches who are showing interest to you, I think that is really important. And I know that there's a lot of guys who go through this process and they have an idea of where they think they belong. But the unfortunate part of this process for players and families sometimes is that it's not a menu. Like, you don't get to pick where you go, and you need to listen to what the college baseball world is telling you. And if you're getting interest from some schools that aren't necessarily at the top of your list, like, you do not want to blow those schools off. You want to do your homework. You want to get to know those coaches. You want to take that visit, because at the end of the day, you may not end up at your dream school, right? And there's very few perfect fits, right? And for a lot of guys, I know there's still a lot of Division I dreams out there, and you can still pursue Division I schools, but also take into consideration Division II and Division III schools that are showing you interest, because ultimately that might be the best fit for you. You know, and with the portal definitely having an impact on high school guys, I think you'd be remiss to not consider a really good Division III program or a place that's really showing interest for you. And I think it's one of the big traps that people can fall into is that you're stubborn to what the baseball world's telling you, right? And we've talked about it before, and not to be too blunt, or I'm not trying to come off as mean here, but you know, if you listen to this on July 1st or, you know, whenever this comes out, and you haven't received a call from a Division I school yet, like, you're not a Division I player. It doesn't mean that you can't have a great tournament or you can't go to a camp and be awesome and end up getting an offer from somebody. But until that day comes, you need to consider the options that are ahead of you. Like, we've talked about how fine the filter is to even play college baseball. And if that's what your goal is, and that's what your dream is to go play college baseball, there's a lot of opportunity out there if you're willing to be open to it. And you know, me and you both coach at the Division III level as well as the Division I level. Like, there's some awesome places to play baseball at all different levels across this. And you know, make sure that if you're going through this process and you're getting interest from those schools, that you're showing interest, right? Those guys get told no, like, that's not ultimately the fit for you. That's fine. But if you've got a handful of schools that are starting to show interest in you, you got to show some interest back. Go check out that campus. Go meet with that coach. Sometimes you'll be shocked that when you get on some of these campuses and you realize they're really good places to have a great experience at the collegiate level. And I think it's one of the bigger mistakes that people make historically going through this with families, both as a coach and what we do now, is that a lot of times they dismiss really good opportunities early in the process, not knowing that you can pursue two things at once. You don't have to give up on schools that are super high on your list while dismissing other schools. You can pursue one and also take into consideration other schools that are showing you interest.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head of being able, like, making sure that you keep your options open. But I also want to piggyback on that for a second. Like, keeping your options open, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that, like, you commit to the first school that shows you love, but then, you know, continue to keep your recruitment open in hopes that something else comes along. You know, that's like, it's red flags all over the place for everyone, because if you continue to get recruited and someone, you know, you don't tell the other coaches and then you commit, like, that coach is going to, you know, be put in a tough spot. And then, you know, you're going to break that trust with that coach immediately. You know, but I think that there's, you know, I think there's two parts to it. Like, if you're only in this to say that you only want to play Division I baseball, like, you're certainly naive, and you need to have a broader understanding of the college baseball landscape and go back and listen to, I don't even know, like, we're pushing 100 of these podcasts, I think. So, like, go back and listen, man. Like, the amount of interviews we've done and the things that we've talked about, like, there's really good baseball being played at all three levels. Like, if you're only in this to say that you want to be a Division I baseball player, then you need to either readjust your mindset and your attitude to what you're doing, or, you know, I don't know. It's not going to be great. But the flip side of that too, though, is I think that there's, you know, like you said, like you, not necessarily that you, like, you know, when we say keep your options open, we're not necessarily saying like string people along, but trust me when I tell you, like, if you are what we would consider a Division III player and I'm recruiting you and your style is still trying, you like, you have some lukewarm interest from some Division I's to kind of see how it pans out. Like, that's okay. I'm going to know that as long as we're, you know, we're having an open conversation about it, it's fine. Like, I know that I'm not necessarily committing a bunch of guys in July and August if I was a Division III high academic school. I know that that's mainly going to start coming at the end of August, September, October, and into November is when I'm, you know, primarily trying to get done the big majority of my class. So, you know, it's not necessarily you're stringing along, but as long as you're upfront and honest about where you are in your process and what's going on, like, because then you can go visit those Division III schools or Division II, whatever it might be, and walk on campus and be like, wow, okay, this is actually a really, really good place to play college baseball and have a phenomenal experience. Whereas if you just close those doors down, which generally does happen, and you say, well, I'm not interested, I want to go there, and you tell the coach, like, the coach is going to move on. So now the coach has moved on to other players. They might commit other players, and when you don't have any offers in October, September, October, and come back and be like, hey, or, you know, are you still interested in me? It's like, well, I mean, yeah, but like, I also want you to know, like, we've committed three infielders. We're done. Like, you can come try out in the fall, and like, that door is closed because you didn't have the foresight to be like, well, I'll keep this door open and just like, let's see what happens over the course of the next 6, 7, 8 weeks. You know, and I think if you're, you know, when you do it that way, it leaves the door open for a lot of people, for a lot of coaches and kids to be able to kind of come back and be like, hey, because it's going to get to the point, right? Like, if you're number one on their board, and if you're number one on my board and I call in the end of August and like, hey man, like where are you at? Like, I got to move on a couple guys, but you're my number one. Like, what do you think? And if you're like, you know what, I don't have any other interest anywhere else, like, let's see what we can do here. Or I'm still waiting on this. I'm gonna be like, okay, like, I just need you to know, like, I'm going to move on. I'm not completely closing the door, but I have to offer two other guys to make sure I get somebody in this class and not miss all of them. So I need you to know that. And not to put pressure on you, but that's just where I'm at. And, you know, when you have those conversations, like, yeah, they're tough, man. Like, I get it. But at the same time, like, it leaves a lot of things open. And if you do have to happen to circle back, you're in a far better spot in that coach's mind of like, hey, man, like, we had a bunch of tough conversations and like, it didn't pan out for him. Like, yeah, man, I'd love to have a kid like that who has high character, can have these tough conversations and wants to get in here and compete. Like, I'll go with that kid versus the kid that's like, I'm out. Oh, crap, it didn't work out. Please take me. Like, you know, it's a far different conversation and a better way to go about it, in my personal opinion.
No, 100%. Because, I mean, we've both been in that position as Division III coaches that we know the kids that we really want, they want the Division I experience. Like, that's what they want to hang their hat on. But that's also the kid that makes programs tick. So there's a certain level of patience with Division III schools where, you know, like, you're kind of waiting for the baseball world to tell them, like, hey, you're not a Division I guy. The funny thing is, and I keep going back to this, is that most of the coaches talk. So, like, you know, I know when you were at RPI, like, you were communicating with Eric about, like, where are you at with that pitcher? Like, is he a dude that you're going to take? Like, or is he a guy that I should really stay on here because he wants to be an engineer. He's probably a little bit short for Columbia, but I know I can get him in and I know he's good enough. Like, coaches talk and we get a feel behind the scenes of where kids are because of how small the baseball world is. But I mean, you're driving out, like, just don't burn bridges. Don't burn bridges that don't need to be burnt. Now, if you get a call from a Division III school that's in a location you have no interest in, like, you know, say you want to stay on the East Coast and some Division III school from the Midwest saw you and you just don't have any interest, that's a different conversation. There's nothing wrong with telling that coach, like, hey, you know, I just don't think that's going to be a fit for me. Thank you very much. But it's a school that's talking to you, check some academic boxes. If it checks some location boxes, if you have a conversation with that coach and you're like, oh man, that guy's kind of cool, that's a really good reason to make sure that you keep that iron in the fire and let the coach make the decision of whether he's going to move on or not. Don't let you be the one who makes that decision, because countless amount of times I've held on for a kid with the idea that he's probably a little bit short from the schools that he's looking at, because I've talked to those coaches and he's the fourth arm on their list and they're probably not going to make it to their fourth guy. If you show some love to that coach and you're willing to get on the phone with him and you're willing to find some time to go and check out that campus, you'd be shocked at how often you end up finding a place that's a really good fit for you.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think, for everyone who listens to this, like when you go to these events, you know, it's relatively easy, whether or not we're wearing school attire or not, to kind of figure out who may or may not be a college coach. Everyone kind of looks the same. They're going to have a baseball hat on. There's going to be a pen in her, probably somewhere in the back of their the strap of their hat. You'll see some radar guns. There's going to be a lot of Lululemon. Yes. So, you know, it's generally pretty easy to kind of discern who's who. But I also think that like not just pay attention to who's there, but like if you legitimately watch a little bit, I'm not saying like sit there and stalk people, but like we all know each other. Like we all go to the same events. We all stay in the same hotel. I mean, there was a running joke when the year my wife and I got married, that, you know, I was sleeping in hotel rooms and beds with other baseball coaches more than I had seen my fiance. And, you know, it's just what happens in this business, man. Like recruiting budgets are small. You're splitting hotel rooms. Like, you know, there's four or five guys sleeping in a hotel room. Like you get to know people really well. You know, and that's not to say, you know, you know, we talk about Eric and Jonathan, like, you know, Eric, we played baseball with. I've known Eric for 20-ish years at this point in time. Like, you know, it's a lot of time to know somebody. So like, you know, when he was at Columbia, you're right. Like it was super easy for me, and I trusted, you know, obviously I think Eric's one of the better pitching coaches in the country, but like, it was super easy for me to be like, hey, what do you think on this kid? I think he might be a little short for you. And I knew what he was looking for, but like, I knew Eric was going to go see him four or five times, where with what they were capable of doing, and I was only going to be able to see him once. And I would take Eric's recommendation and be like, hey man, this kid's really good. You should stay on him. Okay. Done and done. You know, but like, you know, the point that we're driving at is like, we all talk, like, you know, just because you know, when I was at Siena and I played at Marist, people were like, oh, you must hate them. Like, no man, like went there. Love Tras. Nope. Complete opposite. You know, so it's relatively, it's not necessarily that cut and dry thing, but like, you know, we all like, yeah, when we compete against each other, like, yeah, we're going to get after it. But you know, from a recruiting standpoint and stuff, like we all talk, we all see the same kids, like people are going to offer up opinions and see what's up. And it gives you a little bit more insight, especially if you're recruiting that kid. Right.
Well, I think a lot of times what happens is you remove your blind spots from the recruiting process, that if you know that Eric or Chris or Tish or whoever has seen that kid a couple times, not only do you get an idea of where they stand with that kid, but also now you've got three other opinions of guys that you trust to verify, like, yeah, he is what I think he is, or, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, there's, you know, I remember getting off of phone calls with kids and they would mention schools and I would immediately call that coach and be like, yo, where are you at with this dude? And they tell you, like, hey man, he's a guy for us and we're going to get him on campus, so we're going to make an offer. All right, well, I'm probably not going to waste much time on that kid. But if you get the response of like, hey man, he was good at camp, I think the kid's awesome, we got some dudes ahead of him right now, now I got an opinion on the kid, but now I also understand that, like, okay, I got a legitimate chance on this kid. Now I need to spend a little bit more time. I need to get to know this kid. I need to make sure that he understands why this is potentially a good fit for him. And like, if you're listening to this, understanding that that's how this system works, I think is important, that how you have those conversations with coaches matters, right? Like if you get on the phone with a coach and you're dismissive or you're not prepared for that conversation, or you're short with a coach, or you're not really engaging, or you don't answer the phone when a coach is supposed to be calling, like little stuff like that ends up getting communicated down the chain of coaches. And you get information from other coaches organically because you have that conversation. You're like, man, like, I don't know, this kid doesn't, he's not prompt. He doesn't listen. You know, he doesn't answer his phone, just kind of dismissive of when we have conversations. And you start to paint a picture of a kid in a good way or a bad way, depending on what those interactions are. And I think that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes, that information gets passed around very freely in the recruiting world. Like, nobody's scared of talking about what they think of a kid or where they are in the recruiting process, because we all know in the grand scheme of things that a kid's going to go to a place because you either make a really good offer or they think it's a really good fit. It's usually not going to come down to what I think about a guy. Like, there's not as many secrets as people think there would be. I think it's kind of what I'm driving at.
There's not.
So, moral of the story, keep your options open. Keep irons in the fire. Listen to what the baseball world says and stay consistent with your outreach. Stay persistent with your outreach. Make sure you're posting on social media your schedule for tournaments. Make sure you're posting videos. Make sure you're emailing coaches with your schedules. It only takes one school to answer an email and to show up at a game. And you might send 100 emails and you might only get 10 responses, but you only need one of those 10 schools to show you interest. So you get a 10% response rate and you only need a 10% response rate, and you might end up at the school that's going to give you an opportunity to play college baseball. So do the work, make sure that you're putting in the time to get your name out there. Make sure you're communicating with coaches and keep your options open, because there's a lot of really cool places to go play college baseball. Any closing remarks?
Nope. Nailed it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. Tune in next week. We'll talk to you then. Thank you for listening this week. If you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and smash that like button for us. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at EMD Baseball. If you want to find out what me and Keith do to help families and players navigate the recruiting process, go ahead and check us out on emdbaseball.com. Take a few minutes to check out our new online academy. I promise you'll get some good information out of that. Thanks again for listening. Check in with you next week.